The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States Heavyweight
Champion. Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the WrestleCast. This is episode 115. I'm Samuel Kalunga. With me, as always, is Miss Didi Janay.
Hey, friends.
You're back.
I am. I'd take Christmas off. Did you?
Okay.
Did you?
Yeah, sure. Exactly. No, actually, Don made me say that. Don, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
But no, we do have Don Delorente in the house as well.
Don't you dare be sour, folks. I am here. Welcome. Episode 115 of the WrestleCast. Good weekend for wrestling, even if Sam doesn't think so.
Nah, it sucks. Anyway, let's get back to ringside. Let's have some notes here. A little bit of news. First bit of news is Don Didi, the Milk of Magnesia, the affected Mr. Del Rio, apparently it went into his brain or something.
Well, I think it works both ways. He affected her first.
Oh yeah, I'll blame the Mexican, yeah.
Yes. Well, the first bit of news that I hit DD to, and all the ladies, Jade and Queen Mel Mindy and Julia Julep and Kishino H, is that they're engaged now. Congratulations.
I thought that didn't happen.
But didn't she propose to him? So maybe he finally proposed to her.
He finally accepted. He was like, oh, why not? So, okay, so there was an incident in Austria. The original reports were Alberto beat someone's skull in and then had a fight with his brother and there was blood everywhere and the cops had to separate him and all this other stuff. But no, apparently that didn't happen. That was greatly exaggerated. There's an eyewitness a statement. It says that there was a fight between Alberto and an Austrian gentleman and punches were thrown. Guillermo, his brother, jumped in to help Alberto. And it wasn't a bad fight, but the guy was bruised up, but he wasn't hurt very badly. They called the police. At the police station, the two brothers started arguing in Spanish, so nobody knew what they were saying or fighting over. Well, we know. The belief was Guillermo was trying to calm Alberto down, and Alberto was yelling at him. Alberto did break the zip ties that they used to get him, and they had to use ankle shackles to restrain him.
That's actually kind of hot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That was my first pre-cast moment of the year. Let me have it.
I wish the people could have heard us talking pre-show.
What? Mm-hmm. Listen, I didn't know he busted through the shackles and shit. Like, that's different.
I guess when you get some of that milk of magnesia in you, I mean, I guess anything's
possible. Oh my, you ruined it. It's over now. Forget I said anything.
Good. I'm glad to help. So, SmackDown falls back in the ratings. Apparently, your boy Goldberg was the responsible party.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So, are you hurt?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I barely wanted to watch. Who told them anybody wanted to see John Cena anymore?
I don't know. That's something you have to discuss with your people.
Yeah.
So, now that Anthem has outright bought TNA and they pretty much dismissed Dixie Carter, we get an announcement that Jeff Jarrett is coming back as a consultant. He, Karen, and Dutch Mantel are all in Orlando. Apparently, Dutch is going to be part of creative, so that's a good thing. The only bad thing is that Jeff Jarrett does not travel alone. Jeff Jarrett also travels with a certain demigod, a certain Cornette call him? The Archbishop of Talentberry?
among other things, much harsher.
Calls him a lot of harsh things, but he does not travel alone. He does come with a package deal sometimes with Mr. Vince Russo, but hopefully that does not happen here. Wrestling gods, if you're listening, please do not let this man come back and ruin another show, a show that he's already ruined twice. But apparently, part of the deal is that Anthem is going to help Jarrett with GFW. So I
he'd be dumb to make a deal any otherwise.
Right. Apparently, they're going to help him get TV, whether it's on one of their stations or not. Who knows?
I mean, why couldn't he just go to Flow Slam? I mean, that sounded like it would be perfect for him.
Right.
But, I mean, I guess he knew he had this maybe coming into works. He held out. I mean, you can't wait for a man who's patient. Can't, you know, be mad at a man for being patient, excuse me.
So, on a similar note, maybe related, Angelina Love, Davey Richards, and Brooke Tessmacher are returning in the next edition of Impact, two of which are new moms. I'll let you figure out which ones. So, also, WWE is bringing back WrestleMania to New Orleans in 2018.
I think we're going. I'm pretty sure we're going, yeah.
Because it's just a short drive.
It's a couple hours on a plane, but it's fucking New Orleans. Like, I'll make a way. I'll find a way.
You gonna earn some beads, Dee Dee?
No, I'm not gonna do that. Oh, I like to keep my breasts in the bra. That's how they like to be contained. Yeah.
You're no fun.
I know.
Used to be thinking about the we, not the I, but I digress.
What do you mean we? Are we flashing? Is Sam going to flash too? What is this?
Sure, hey, if you do, I do. You speak French?
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it's going to be lit this time. And Dee Dee, I will take you to Tulane, where you've been before, you know, which will probably have Shimmer.
Oh.
So we need to go see Shimmer.
But it doesn't exist.
I'm going to take you to a dark auditorium.
You're going to take me to, like, you know, like when you go into a fantasy and decides to do, like, the wavy thing. It's just going to be a room of, like, wavy hair because there's not going to be anything there. It's going to be like a mirage
in the distance. You're going to just imagine the wrestlers.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I think I saw a girl. I don't know.
Look, there goes Ivelisse right there, flying through the air. So, it was lit the last time. Well, the little bit that I got to see, but still. Hopefully, no one gets lost on the bus this time.
Well, they didn't get lost so much as I left them.
No, not to my friend. Let me tell you this story real quick. He made it to town.
Mm-hmm.
We got there a little bit later. We got there just in time for the Shimmer show. He was supposed to meet us at Tulane.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he gets on the bus to go to Tulane, but he sees a pizza shop that he wants to go to. So he's like, okay, I'm gonna go get some pizza. He goes to get some pizza, misses the bus back.
Wow.
That was the last bus of the day.
Oh, yikes.
And his cell phone died. And he had nowhere to charge it. So he basically wandered around New Orleans for the whole night. And
that's probably really fun, though.
Okay, yeah, it's not fun, though, when he has the hotel reservation and you can't get in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was under his name. And he had to be there.
I've gotten in under my mother's name.
Well, he wasn't my mother.
But I mean, oh, well.
So, yeah, that was... Yeah.
Sorry, Charlie.
Well, yeah, hopefully if I go again with this individual, he learns how to take an Uber or something.
I heard they have the Ubers in the New Orleans. I never took the Uber, though. I just walked around. See, my phone wasn't dead. I could just Google Maps it. I just walked where I needed to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happened in your instance?
Oh. When you were there? Remember the kids were getting on my nerves and they... Said some slick shit.
Oh, okay.
They said some slick shit under their breath, and they weren't where they were supposed to be. And somebody did the count and said, "We're all here." And I thought in my head, "No, we're not." But I didn't tell anybody. And so, I mean, they just got left for a few minutes. We had to turn around and go get them. But it was just maybe watch your mouth next time. You know, I don't know.
You just wanted to put the fear of God in them.
Right.
Listen, I've been an aunt for a decade now, so like my petty has grown astronomically. You're not going to test me. You're not going to say slick shit under your breath and think there's nothing that I can do, because I can't put my hands on you, because I would just yoke you up. So since I can't do that, you're going to figure it out one way or another that you don't mess with me. And I won't mess with you, and we're all going to be happy. But they had to learn, and they ain't said nothing slick out their mouth since. Tough love.
Okay, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker are going to appear on an upcoming Raw together. Why Undertaker? I don't know. Isn't he a SmackDown guy?
You do what you want when you're dead.
Not when you're popping, but when your bones are popping.
You know, well.
You do what you want when your bones are popping. So yeah, the January 9th episode of Raw, I have Undertaker and Shawn Michaels to be there doing something. You know, weird how like Undertaker had that thing where he's like, "Hey, I'm back on SmackDown," and then he never came back. He never showed up again.
I didn't think he was going to show up. Wait, he said, "You better win or else I'm gonna come back." But didn't they lose?
I'm gonna come back. And...
Or did they win?
They won, I think. Yeah.
Okay, oh, then so that's why he didn't come back.
It's kind of like, I don't know, neither one of y'all remember, but like, I remember one time Hulk Hogan came in and like, I think he beat up the Great Khali or somebody. He grabbed the mic and said, "You know, I love WWE, I am back, and I'll never leave you again." And next week he was in TNA. So, that's all for the news.
No!
Why? What else is there?
You didn't hear about Jimmy Snuka?
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Snuka. He's been exonerated.
Not exonerated. So much as he's too old, and so therefore he can't stand trial.
So he played, so basically the act worked.
If it's even an act, maybe he really is whatever they say is wrong with him.
You know who didn't get a chance to be old?
Murderers get sick too.
Sorry, you know who didn't get a chance to be old and get sick?
Who?
Huh?
What?
His victim, the girl he killed.
Oh, his mistress?
Allegedly.
Oh.
Allegedly.
I think that was his actual girlfriend, I think.
Oh, I don't.
Actual
listen, allegedly. This all happened when I was either not alive or a baby. So
well, it happened in 83. So how old were you?
I was born in 85. So
where were you on the night of the
murder? I wasn't even a thought in the air. So all I know is the last article I saw called her the mistress. If that's wrong, that's not my fault.
I think they were together. I think that was his girl.
Well, you know, back in the 80s, they could have a girlfriend, a wife, and a mistress. Like, those things were
it's not the mafia. What the hell?
You know, it's not mutually exclusive. Like,
yeah, have you seen Fences?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you need to watch it. Really good.
He had a girl on the side? Oh, I would have kicked him in the head.
It was probably a young thing.
That's not a spoiler. I don't know. I didn't
know. You got to go watch it. It's good. It's real good.
Look at Don, give him the preview.
But Viola had the snotty nose. Intense cry. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I don't want to cry. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It'll get your thug out you now.
Listen. I went to go see Sing, the cartoon about the American Idol animals.
and I cried
in that shit. Now, you want me to go see Fences?
Now, is it like
be sobbing? Now,
is it a happy cry or is it more like Rosewood?
No, it wasn't an emotional "I hate Caucasian people" cry. It was just like, damn, that's real. That's so sad. No,
I'm talking about singing. I'm talking about Fences.
Okay.
Oh no. But the part that got me was more of a sentimental part towards the end. It was like a real sentimental part.
I'm so sensitive.
But okay, yeah,
I'll have to wait till it comes out on digital or something. I'm not sitting at the theater.
Sam said, "I'm not crying in person. Fuck that." Yeah.
Heard of some strangers. Come on now.
Yeah, I was good. I was good to the last, like, literally, like, the last, like, 7 minutes. I was good. And then, like, it got me just a taste.
Mm. Yeah. I can't. I cried about the shy elephant. You want me to cry when Viola crying? Like,
Hey, but I'm going to tell you, the dad from ATL,
mm-hmm.
he actually steals it, though. His character.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anybody who's listening to this podcast, please go support and go see Fences. It's really good. And, like, take your parents or your grandparents, because it's, like, set in the 40s, I think.
Oh, so they would, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Oh, it's one of those Mississippi Burning types, okay.
No, because
it's up north, I think, like...
New York, but that's not the point. No, it's more of a family.
It's an interpersonal your daddy and you and how you relate to him and how he don't like you and shit, you know.
Yeah, and
you've seen the previews when Denzel was like, "Ain't nobody gonna like
see
you."
All I see in the previews is people crying. That's all I see.
You didn't see the one where he was like you. I'm not gonna like you.
No, I didn't see the I saw the preview on mute. I just saw people crying.
No,
and if you then have you black the best parents, part. If you have black
he,
parents,
well,
you
have Sam black, doesn't know. So you say
if you have black grandparents, you've heard that particular speech, like Sam that lays out.
Sam's not familiar. Okay. Sorry about that.
Apparently not. My mom wants to see it though. I know that.
You should go see it with him, man. I'm serious. Go see it with him.
We'll see.
He's like, "That's a little too ethnic for me." Sorry. No thanks.
Damn it. Look here, Didi.
Mm-hmm. You gotta sound all innocent, yes?
Just as a like Krispy Kreme like hot flashing sign warning, Denzel does say nigga a lot.
Oh, then Sam can't go. Sorry.
okay. Well, then, Didi, you can't go see the movie My Family, Mi Familia, with me.
What's that? Mi Familia?
You never seen Mi Familia?
No, I've never seen it.
It's a good movie.
I believe it. I feel like I've heard good things about it.
It came out on the same weekend as Friday. I still remember because we were debating which one to see.
That's how you know you're multiracial. Because everybody else would be like, Friday.
Well, we saw Friday, but we were debating for a good while.
That is funny to me.
Okay, so back on track. Wrestling, the squared circle.
You can tell how this week went. It's like, oh, so, yeah.
Things happen. Okay, I got my notes. Sorry.
That's my line.
So, Monday Night Raw, live from Tampa, I think.
Sure.
Yeah. No, it was Tampa Florida? Last week. It was somewhere else this week.
From somewhere else. Well, I think it was Tampa because I think Chris Jericho has put this whole city of Tampa on the list.
It was Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to say Jacksonville, but I wasn't sure.
It's Tampa. He said it was Jacksonville, but it was Tampa.
No, it was Tampa last week because, you know, Big E was cutting up because Big E's from Tampa. It was Tampa last week.
Well, maybe they stayed in 2 weeks. I don't know.
Let's go to the Googles.
My Google says Tampa. I don't know. And then they say they were in Jacksonville for SmackDown. That's what mine says.
Okay. Well, maybe you're right. Your Googles are right. I swear Tampa was last week, though.
Listen, my sources are my sources. They get paid the big bucks, not me.
Tampa. It is Tampa. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was wrong.
Maybe because half of the WWE is down there. They're just like, let's just stay for the holidays. It's cool.
All right, let's go.
What'd you feel about the opening segment, sir?
It sucked.
Let's not talk about it so much as far as the blow by blow, but just get everybody's opinion.
No, like I'm gonna go by my notes because if not, I'll just sound completely like. I didn't do any blow by blow here.
He said he'll sound like me with all the ums.
And please don't play that drinking game, by the way. We can't afford to pay anybody's hospital bills.
Oh, we're going to play it.
There's at least two instances here where it gets played.
We're going to play the drinking game.
Oh, the drinking game? Oh, okay. I just meant the distraction finish.
We're doing that also. You don't have to be both at home. Just do whatever the spirit moves you. I want to give you options.
Look yourself in the mirror and hear me says, do both.
That's what I'm doing, but you know,
Kermit with the
hoodie on. That's one right there.
Mm-hmm. And Mick Foley comes down and talks about putting Jericho in a shark cage. He shows
Betty Lou. You've been watching the old NWA stuff, right? That's what Dusty Rhodes called it, the shark cage. Okay. Betty Lou.
Okay. So he shows the cage on the stage. Owens and Jericho come out. The manager Foley talks about how he's never seen the Kevin Owens show before. And tonight he'll see the premiere episode with special guest Goldberg. Now Stephanie comes down and puts Chris Jericho in a match against Roman Reigns for the U.S. title. The match will be contested under Quebec province rules, where the champion can lose their title with disqualification. They didn't say that. I mean, I said that because there was a match a long time ago. The Quebecers versus the Steiners for the tag team titles. The Steiners were the champions. Johnny Polo put into the contract that they will be playing under, they will be having the match under Quebec rules. Quebec rules say the champion loses under disqualification.
Good old Johnny Polo. They can only see.
Right. All right, Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins wrestled. Owens on the outside hits Rollins with the ring bell, gets disqualified, and reacts like Tim Duncan used to after getting called for a foul. You remember that, Don, how he just like put his arms up like, who, me?
Yeah. Did you like the match?
All right. I mean, it was just a match. I mean,
did you like the circumstances of how it finished? Did you like how it was booked? Is there anything redeeming out of it?
It was funny. I mean, that's all.
If it makes you chuckle, then yeah, that's good. That's a positive. Okay.
Cesaro takes on Carl Anderson. Anderson gives Cesaro a neck breaker off the top rope and gets the win. So yay. They just seem to be going through the motions like a lot of these matches. That's why I'm just like,
I don't know about that, dude. You don't go through the motions when you do the triple jump crossbody that Cesaro did. That's pretty nasty.
Well, look at you watching the match and everything.
Cesaro doesn't go through the motions of anything.
Cesaro does something different every freaking week, dude.
Every time. Speaking of Cesaro, can we segue into why Natty is always in his face on Total Divas? She need to talk to her own husband. She's married.
If you could be in his face every day, I mean.
Of course I would. But I'm not married, though. See, this is how Paige and what's his name started.
His former, that was his former tag team partner. So I
that's,
mean,
that's how probably... Paige and Alberto started talking in the face of married people. Don't talk to her. She's married. But anyway.
Maybe she wants to find out what the big swing is like.
I bet she does.
Oh, God. Oh,
all right, all right. I bet she does.
It's a G-rated show. It's a G-rated show. Okay, Strowman and Sami Zayn fight.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
That last week.
So, Dee, do you count the full revolution of the big swing or just a half revolution?
I count the full revolution. Ever since you pointed it out to me, I counted it the correct way, and now the way they count it really irks my nerves.
Right?
So I wish you had never said anything, because it's just like, that's not the number.
It's not counting. It's like, just they're just counting numbers. That's all.
Just like one, two, three. And it's like, no, it's, you have to wait. So it goes all the way around.
Last man standing match. This is actually okay. Sami took a worse beating than he did when Mick wanted to throw in the towel. Strowman kept breaking up the count, so he can inflict more damage. Foley comes out with a stretcher. Strowman gets the victory. They put Zayn in the stretcher, and Strowman knocks it over. Well, that's fucked up, man.
Hey, it got two people over in one fell swoop.
Yeah, knocked Zayn over. Yeah, sure.
No, not that type of over. Like, Sami Zayn is the biggest white meat babyface in WWE right now.
If you say so. So Jack Gallagher is in the locker room with the New Day. He's teaching them the art of dueling with umbrellas. So New Day come out and announce their entrance in the Royal Rumble as they get ready to make their resolutions. Titus comes out yelling like Big E. He volunteers to be a new member of the New Day. You know, they banter for a while. Titus gets into it with Xavier. Xavier challenges him to a match. Titus punches him and accepts. They have their match. Xavier wins with a sunset flip pin.
Boom.
Proving that he is not the weakest link, as Titus suggested.
Boom.
Hold on, Sam. Didi, you have to speak for the glow.
Yes.
How'd you feel when Titus started dancing, doing the
doing the gyration?
The thing that fraternity does.
Yeah, and then he broke out into the Q stomp. Which
yeah, thing? It was almost okay. I can't speak from a glow perspective, but for me, the way that I feel in 2017 with certain people's future president, I was like, I don't know that you need to be doing all that around those people. Like, that's really how I felt. I was like, they don't know what you're doing. They don't respect it. They think you're just jumping up and down like a fucking monkey. Like, I was like in my feelings about it. I don't know why I felt that way. I felt very strongly that he should sit his ass down. But I did like the way the muscles jumped. It was quite nice. And I was in for the idea of him being a part of the New Day for a little bit. He wouldn't fit, though.
Yeah. It definitely was a highlight of the episode, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so Bailey's in Stephanie's office. She wants to know why Dana Brooke was the referee in their match. Steph says that Charlotte has some powerful lawyers. Steph says she never wanted Bailey on Raw. She calls her ordinary. She's 2 seconds away from calling her a B-plus player. Bailey says that she's just Bailey, and that's good enough for her.
And your husband.
Right?
Or it was just implied. I don't know. Whatever.
Steph puts her in a number one contenders match for tonight.
It sounds so dirty when you put it that way.
I know. Her opponent is Nia Jax. Okay, so Cedric and Alicia are walking backstage. Noam Dar is hanging around and is like, new year, new me. So he apologizes to Cedric. Cedric makes him apologize to Alicia, which he does, and calls her sweet cheeks and runs off. I think I did something similar to this back in middle school. I don't remember. What do y'all think of this here? What do you think of this pairing, Needy?
Of whom and who?
Cedric Alexander and Alicia Fox.
Well, I mean, yay for black love, I guess. I don't. Is this supposed to make up for black excellence being destroyed? Like, was this what this is? Like, I don't.
Go ahead.
In the words of Stevie Ray, and it's a Stevie Ray quote, and Cedric Alexander needs to really take this to heart. Them yaks ain't got no business at ringside.
We haven't got to that part yet. Okay, so Cedric goes up against Drew Gulak. Both men adhere to the code of honor, of course. Tony Nese, Drew's valet, gets into it with Alicia Fox. Cedric gets... Get your drink ready, Didi. Get your drink ready. Cedric gets distracted, and Drew Gulak rolls him up for the victory. Distraction finish, everyone. Take a drink. All right, so Chris Jericho challenges Roman Reigns for the United States Championship. The match is contested under Quebec province rules. Jericho removes the turnbuckle padding while the referee puts the padding back on. He grabs the title, gets in the ring, throws the belt at Roman, falls down, pulls the Eddie Guerrero. The ref sees it, but he can't call it. So Roman Reigns wins anyway. So what did y'all think of this callback?
Anytime they do anything that goes calls back to Eddie Guerrero is awesome. and the internet was mad that he didn't win with it. So they really
I kind of understand that. Really usually that gets you a win, but I guess this referee's like, I don't know, man. All right, Brian Kendrick versus TJP in a match. Neville looks on backstage. TJP puts Kendrick in a submission, and Kendrick just taps.
And TJP looks like Speed Racer.
Oh, dang. That's what's your gimmick, DD?
I'm a grown-ass woman. I'm grown. Right. He looks like an anime character. Right. I can't do it.
So Big Cass takes on Rusev and Jinder in a handicap match. They fight for a while. Enzo is ringside just talking smack. Rusev puts the big boot on Big Cass, gets the victory. After the match, your girl JoJo calls him Jinder Mahal. Just funny.
She listens to the WrestleCast. She likes the way you call him Jinder every week.
Right? I'm telling you. No, she just, it's just, I mean, because we're family, because she is that telepathic family thing. That's what it is. Okay, so Nia Jackson Bailey in a number one contenders match. Nia squashes Bailey all over the place. She puts Bailey in a cobra clutch, ragdolls her, almost gets her to pass out. Nia gets up on the top rope. Sasha comes out, distracts Bailey. Distracts Nia. Bailey gets up, gives her a belly to Bailey, gets the victory off the distraction finish. She is now the number one contender to Charlotte's title.
Can we talk about how the belly to Bailey or the Bailey to belly is still an awful finisher?
It looks really
just a suplex.
So shut your mouth.
It's just a suplex. Suplexes pin literally nobody ever anymore except Bailey's. It's the
The fastest pin in the history of professional wrestling was accomplished with the belly to belly. That's all I gotta say.
When?
1985.
Oh, 31 years ago.
And it still is the record. It still is the record. There's no move more devastating in a sudden attack than
Dolphy's sweet chin music of the chinless Ellsworth or whoever that was a few weeks ago had to be close. Like, oh my gosh. Who wins with the suplex anymore? Oh my gosh.
Did y'all see what Yahoo Finance tweeted?
No, what?
Trump wants a much inward Navy. Here's how much it'll cost.
Oh.
They meant to say bigger, but they typoed.
They said a much what?
The N-word.
A much nigger Navy?
Yeah.
That the don't got in typo.
The B and the N
ain't no goddamn typo. You think I'm stupid?
Take it over Yahoo Finance.
That's why. Who uses fucking Yahoo anymore? They done sat up there and lost the 80 million customers that they did have information. And they're fucking Yahoos. Oh, it's a typo. Sure.
This is
sure,
man.
Jan.
Yeah. Sure. The tweets about are already rolling in. The day you regret your giant fingers, RIP Yahoo.
I know, damn RIP. They'll be just fine. Who gonna boycott Yahoo? Who black was using Yahoo? They'll be fine. But I see the scam. But that's okay.
Oh, there's already a Twitter by that name. And they've been suspended already.
Wow.
Let's see. All right. Yeah. So the Kevin Owens show begins. The table that they use for contract signings out there. Kevin and Chris are in comfortable chairs, while the general notice the guest has to sit on a lawn chair.
Yeah. I did see that, yes.
There's a man just standing there with the Kevin Owens show sign stuck to his face. That was great. Kevin's first guest dominated the Attitude Era and redefined greatness. And all he needs to do is stand in the ring for the people to chant his name over and over again. The first guest is Chris Jericho. I thought that was funny. There's banter with people. Jericho gets mad. He puts the city of Tampa Bay, his former kayfabe hometown, on the list. People's critics just say we meant African American Navy. God. Okay. So Goldberg comes out. He gets into it with the two hosts. No, wait, hold on. Jericho announces himself as a third entrant in the Royal Rumble. Kevin does not like this because they have to wrestle it. They would have to wrestle at WrestleMania, and he doesn't want to fight his best friend. So then Goldberg comes out. He gets into it with the two hosts. Jericho is about to put him on the list, but Goldberg shouts, "Spear! Jackhammer!" Owens gets in his face, shoves the table aside. Paul Heyman interrupts and says that his client, Brock Lesnar, is not there. He's not in the building. Goldberg stops him from talking. He tells Owens that they have a date at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns comes out. Now he tells Owens and Jericho that they're not going to win anything at the Rumble. He addresses Goldberg. The two go stand eye to eye. Braun Strowman comes out. He gets in the ring. Roman and Goldberg nod at each other and double spear Strowman. Owens and Jericho have long since departed. They've gotten the hell out of there some time ago. Roman and Goldberg nod at each other and pose on their respective turnbuckles as the show closes.
Yeah, they peaced out real quick when Braun Strowman came out. It was like, and we're done. Why can't Vince leave well enough alone? It was all good. He could have went off the air with Roman Reigns and Goldberg just staring at each other. He didn't have to give us Braun Strowman. So backwards to take that 25 minutes, which he killed Sami Zayn, made Sami Zayn look great, Sami Zayn made him look great, just to waste it by having those two dudes double spear him. If anything, they still let Braun double clothesline him, and then he really would have been like, ooh. But that's just me.
Okay. Well, this hashtag, though. Wow. I'm thoroughly entertained by this, by the way. It's terrible, but still. Anyway, moving on. Next show, is it the show?
Is it the Smacky Downy?
Is it the show that matters?
Ooh. I mean,
I think it's called SmackDown Matters. SmackDown?
Hashtags. We out here.
Who is going to review it?
Who? I do enjoy the Who's. Like, they're so clever, the New Day. I wish they were on my show, but that's all right.
You know, I tricked you before. I'm going to trick you again. But this time, the torture is going to last longer on the Hollywood Walk of Shame. So you want to step in the ring with the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be? Step in the ring with the greatest technical wrestler in the history of the WCW. This is the Stinger, and I'm in the mood for handing out more than just one Stinger death drop. Yo, Monkey Boy, listen. If you ain't all jacked up, then hit the bricks and pick some other loser. But if you are jacked, and you are ready to let someone feel the bang, pick me. It's not like there's a choice anyway.
Pick me, pick somebody else, do whatever you want. Leave me alone. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
If you're a true Jericho-holic and you pick me, I promise you'll never, ever lose this game again.
Ooh, yeah, I'm the Macho Man Randy Savage. Don't make a big mistake. Get with the madness. That's what you want to do. Ooh, yeah!
There can't be any doubt in anybody's mind that I'm the man to pick. Not only because I'm in the NWO, because I'm Kurt Hennig. And nobody beats Kurt Hennig. Nobody.
You selected Scott Hall. Big trouble for you. I'm going to rough you up, you little punk. I'm going to rub your face in the mat, and when it's time, boom.
Hey, wait a second. I know what you're thinking. You want to be me like everybody else. Forget about it. You don't have the mental skills or the dexterity. Go on. Go pick somebody else. Pick Hogan or some. Don't pick me. Move. Go. Go.
Goldberg here. If you pick me, you'll find out who's next. Ah!
Pick me, or I'll stick your head through the mat, you pencil neck geek.
Pick me! What's wrong with you? I heard Nash. Nash said don't pick me. Fine, because I can smash Nash. Pick Hogan? Put him to sleep 3 times. Pick me, you know why? Because everybody's got to pay the piper.
So I just, before we get into the review, I wasn't here last week when you all reviewed American Alpha winning their title. Mm-hmm. And I just want you all to know that mm-hmm. I looked back and I realized in the family section, there was only one woman. Mm-hmm. Kind of like I told you there would be. I mean, like, I'm not saying I'm magical. I'm just saying I'm pretty fucking magical. And I'm telling you they're related. And I wish you all would just come with me on this journey of a biracial family. It's like, what's the show? This Is Us? It's like that, but for wrestling. Join us on this journey. Okay, so this week, and we're playing the game, but I'm doing my best not to do that, but we're still playing the game. This week, Miz and Maryse kick off SmackDown. He's in the ring, calls himself the It Couple, gives himself credit for the rating spike. He said his New Year's resolution is to be more forgiving, therefore Renee Young should come out and apologize to him. She doesn't. So Miz says, this will not continue until he gets his apology. Fuck. Sorry about it. So The crowd is chanting, "We want Ambrose," and Miz claims Renee sacrificed her integrity by doing dirty deeds with Dean Ambrose.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. So that brings out Dean, but Miz leaves. Marie stays in the ring, slaps Dean, and then leaves. Damn it. Ambrose says the worst part of his evening is over because Maryse hits way harder than the Miz does anyway. Boom, roasted. So they announce a Cena AJ Styles contract signing for later. Shit. Y'all gonna be drunk. Y'all gonna be real drunk.
Three and counting.
Sorry about it. And I'm honestly trying not to do this to you all, but habits. So the next match is Corbin versus the Dolph. Things. They happen. Ziggler tries for some punches. Corbin grabs them and hits the end of days for the win. Afterwards, Corbin grabs a chair to attack Ziggler, but Kalisto runs out to make a save. Once Corbin runs away, because Sad Stomach is still kind of a punk, Ziggler super kicks Kalisto and yells at him, and he says, "I don't need anyone." And our dear crowd, assholes that they are, they go chant, "Yes." So you just feeds off. Leans over little ass Kalisto and everybody in the back doing the yes chant with the gestures and everything. It was amazing. It was great. I can't imagine that's what they thought would happen. But
it's about time, though. It should happen like 6 months ago. Like,
oh, you know, better late than never.
It would be twice as big if they did it with Roman. Twice as big.
True enough. Backstage, Young Chinless is with Carmella.
Oh, I'm still done with this dude.
He's very shy. He's like, "Thank you," gives her a gift. It's a t-shirt, his t-shirt. And then he's like, "Oh, you know, how you would act if you didn't have a chin." But Carmella's like, "This is okay. This is great. Come to the ring with me later." So they have a date.
At first, when she looked at it, she was like, "What the fuck?"
As you do when you're gifted a gift by somebody without a chin. It's okay. It takes a while.
Has anyone without a chin ever given you a gift?
I went on one date with a guy without a chin, and then I realized, I was like, "You don't have a fucking chin." And I was like, "This is weird." And I was like,
Did you bring a rose or something?
No, we went on a date, and this is when I was stupid. So we went on a date in his house, and I was like, "Oh, I need to go home."
You just let yourself open there for
yeah, but it was daytime. It was mostly safe. So it was
just no. I'm talking about when you said back when I was stupid. See, I could have. You just laid it over the plate. I was gonna.
Oh, what are you going to say? Like yesterday? Kiss my ass. So.
Could have hit a home run, but I went alone.
Well, thank you. So, yeah, back when I was young. Should I say that? Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
It was. So, I was doing stupid stuff like that, and I was like, "You don't have a chin." But he had, like, a semblance of a beard to hide the fact that he didn't have a chin. So, only, like, when you, like, really looked at him or looked at him from the side. And I was like, "Where is your chin?" But you can't really say things like that to people because manners. So, yeah. So I understand Carmella. That's what I'm getting at. I understand the awkwardness of being like, "You're totally normal. There's nothing wrong with your face. It's great." That's all I'm saying. So, yeah, backstage, Ziggler barges into the locker room, slamming doors, tossing shit around. Apollo's like, "Hey, man, it's really rude what you did. You hurt my friend." And Ziggler's like, "Fuck you." Headbutts him. He beats his ass. And then, Mojo and Rhino broke it up.
Did you see him when he came in? He looked like he had rehearsed this a million times, and he was like gently throwing things aside. He wasn't even like trying to aggressively be like, "Arr, arr." He was just like,
"Well, I mean, somebody has to clean up his mess." Ziggler's,
he was like, he's so worried cares. About like, he was so worried about.
He still
about
bought something though. He took the front off the locker area, the fake wood. He broke that part. So even for all his gentleness.
When he grabbed the luggage, he just gently tossed it aside. It's like, "Okay, Dolph, be angry."
Well, you know. Anyway, next was Becky versus La Luchadora. Fuck. There were two of them, right? Fuck.
You know, a friend of mine, he does podcasts. He's actually very good at it. Mm-hmm. He used to have the tendency to say, what the heck would he say? He would say stuff like, you know, and he said what he would do was when that happens, he would just take a pause before he said it.
Yeah, that's what I was doing a couple weeks ago. It was just like so many pauses. And it's like, and it's just like, all right. So what had happened was Becky beat La Luchadora, and there was a switch because the first one was taller than the second one. So the second one tried to hit what they would not call the Twisted Bliss, but we all know what it was. And Becky moved and applied the disarmor for the win. After that, Lynch removed her mask, and it's Alexa. And then we see the other, La Luchadora. And in kayfabe news, we don't know who she is. Don and Sam know. I'm not going to tell you. If they want to tell you, that's their business. I like to keep things kayfabe, though, so I'm not going to tell.
They're multiplying. They're like gremlins.
That's kind of cool, though. Like, what if there are, like, five of them next time? That could be fun.
Or what if there's somebody, like, a different size person every time?
Every time? Like, wouldn't that be lit? Like, what if next time it's, like, a little person? No, you know, like, they have, like all kind of little people now. Like, they have, like, seven different little people shows. They can get somebody to put on a... And then they could be, like... Oh, so they could be, like, La Lucha, La Dorita or something? Like, what do they call the midgets? Like, that's so cool. They could do that.
Yeah, like, one of the ideas they were throwing around was to have, like, someone like Ember Moon out there doing all kinds of cool lucha moves and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when they finally go to remove the mask, it's Eva Marie.
No, that'd be funny.
But, like, on purpose, to where it's obvious that it wasn't her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have Ember Moon and you have Eva, all they have to do is keep their hands uncovered and it'd be obvious, because Ember's a Negro. Anyway, there's the contract signing. A lot of good stuff takes place. A lot of Cena as a has-been, a never-was, a da-da-da. And then Cena comes back with, "You're a little bitch."
That was great. How many woo chows did you get of that AJ Styles promo, though?
It was a good five. And then when Cena called him a bitch, I was like, gasp. It was just like, oof. We're just all the way in the way about it. So it was just like, that's kind of one that it doesn't really make sense for me to go over. You kind of have to hear it for yourself. Damn it. Yeah, the things, they happened. And then Cena tells AJ to bring his friends, his family, and his A-game, and CJ is still going to kick his ass. Cena signs the contract, and then Baron Corbin interrupts because Baron Corbin is Braun Strowman. Get it? You do. So he comes out, announces that he's entering the Rumble match. He is the first guy from SmackDown to say that he is entering, and he's going to leave WrestleMania as champion regardless of his opponent. And he's like, that's awesome, because I know Styles' bitch ass won't fight, but you might. And then Corbin doesn't understand what he said, so he's like, don't insult me like that. And it's like, God damn, you're stupid. It's like, you're fucking awful.
So I have to admit a little something there. I think boring Corbin is actually getting a little better. He's slowly progressing, but he's getting there.
Like, I can see him. Only took it 8 months after I told you that.
No, because he sucked. He's getting better. I didn't say he's like, oh, I see the light. No, he's getting better now. He sucked in.
Coming around like that glacier move, sir.
Well, you know, Sam.
There's no coming around. He just got better. I mean, there's nothing like, oh, I didn't see it, but now I do. No, he's gotten better.
Yeah. Sorry,
like, I can see him main eventing, like, held in title within, like, the year.
Because I watch NXT, I have a free advantage on all these things. Alexa Bliss, Baron Corbin. Come on.
That's part of why I don't watch it, because, like, what if they come out and they end up like The Ascension or Tyler Breeze or someone? Then what? Then where
are they? Bro, I never told y'all that Tyler Breeze or The Ascension was going to be the ish.
They were, everyone I talked to was just, like, going on about him, but he was just, like, the greatest thing ever.
I mean,
well, there's a difference.
Like, why? It's been burying him. This talented young man.
Somebody's got to be a mid-carder. Anyway, I want to get through this. I don't care this much about SmackDown. We have other things to talk about. So, the things, they happen. Oh, while Corbin and Cena are staring each other down, Cena decided to act like Mufasa and turn his back on AJ, and AJ knocked his ass out via somebody's kick that I don't know the name of. Oh, you're not going to put it in there. Anyway, great. So backstage, Maryse approaches Renee, and Renee's just looking at her like, how can I help you? And Maryse slaps hot fire across that cheek. And then Renee curls up in the fetal position. It was great.
And in kayfabe, they announced later that Maryse will be suspended for that slap.
I'm disappointed in Renee. Like, when somebody slaps you across the face, you're supposed to beat her ass. I understand Renee's not a wrestler, but, like, girl, be a thug.
Right.
So next was Carmella versus Aaliyah, but we have found out that Aaliyah may or may not be a racist, so she's canceled. Carmella won via interference. A distraction, maybe, by James Ellsworth. Drake.
Okay. So tell us about this news that you uncovered.
Oh, I was told by a member of the GLOW team that she's racist.
Like, is there an example? I mean,
I guess there are. Does she run the Twitter?
Does she run the Yahoo Finance Twitter? I mean,
no. Well, maybe. I don't know what these Caucasian people do.
Isn't she
that doesn't count. Thank you. I don't know what she is. She didn't look like regular white to me, but foreign people can be racist too. Don't nobody want to be black. Like, let's keep it funky. So that doesn't mean anything. Was it Seattle Slim? I feel like Seattle Slim is who you need to.
Yeah, more than talk likely. She has the dirt on just the political leanings of all of our favorite wrestlers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Seattle Slim. Who knows? XO Seattle Slim. Add her. Don't troll her. If you really want to know about it, though, add her. Next. Excuse me. American Alpha versus Breezango. Shut up. It's just a wine burp. Act like you've been somewhere before. Yeah. American Alpha won very quickly with the grand amplitude. After the match, the Wyatts appeared on screen. Randy got to tell American Alpha to run, though, at the end of the segment. The things, they happened. Oh, so Nikki and Natty are in the ring together. Nikki's telling her that she's useless. Natty's telling Nikki she's useless. And Nikki's like, oh, my life, I had to fight or something. And then you just use the hearts because you're actually not that good. And then there's a picture of Brett saying she's awesome, Nikki. And she's like, what you had to do to get that picture? Essentially calling her a whore. Or a whore, because that's funny. Damn it. Natty says Nikki's beauty will fade, and when it does, John Cena will leave her alone, and she will die alone.
All facts.
Great. It was great. And then I thought in my head, you couldn't pay me. You could not pay me to do this. Like, is there a wedding at the end of this to be like, we were just playing? Like, or is there like a $1 million bonus? Like, this is embarrassing. But anyway, Nikki slaps Natty, and apparently it was a heart slap. She fell to the ground and started crying or some such. It's very dramatic.
She can't act. It's so funny.
Backstage, Deanie stormed toward Gorilla. Who's that? And he was approached by Dasha Fuentes. Dasha screws up every other word that comes out of her mouth. And it's so awkward.
I told y'all a long time ago, y'all were like, oh, you're just being mean. Stop being mean.
Well, I mean, you're you, so it's hard to tell when you're just being objective. Sorry about it. Ambrose cuts her off.
He's doing some business for him, so he's just like, look, he just cut his own promo.
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do sometimes. You can't let the people drag you down. Next week, there will be 3 matches. Nikki versus Natty, Baron versus John Cena, and American Alpha defending their titles against the Wyatts. For your main event, it is Dean Ambrose versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. At some point, Maryse is doing some things she shouldn't be doing, and the referee is about to just cut the match off, and Dean's like, no, just send her in the back. Just send her to the back. And the ref's like, okay. And then so together in tandem, they like do the gesture for get out of here. It feels cute. It was great. Damn it. Long story not so long. Ambrose counted a skull-crushing finale into a Dirty Deeds for the win, and Ambrose is your new champion. Yay.
How do we feel about this?
I mean,
well, I know how Dee Dee feels about it.
How I feel about it.
You threw things.
Also, Keisha Knows each. You know how she feels.
She was probably twerking in her living room. Keisha was.
The exact opposite. She probably removed her bra and had
it. Spinning around like a helicopter.
Spinning around like a helicopter. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't upset. I just was uninterested. Yeah.
Unofficially, your count was 10.
That's not so bad. That's really not that bad.
You haven't heard
beer,
of
it. No, it isn't. If you're drinking 1800.
No, listen. Sip the 1800. Ain't nobody tell you to take a 1 ounce shot for every Like, I don't want you to die. We got work in the morning. I just want you to be a little tipsy. Calm down, people. Sip it slow. Sip it.
Yes. You obviously haven't heard Dave Meltzer's podcast. You should. If you think. Sam, you're not better,
I listen to all of the CSPN podcasts. Plus two others. I don't have time for Dan Meltzer.
No. Listen, I'm just telling you. If you think your are nothing compared to his, he's like,
I wouldn't want to listen to that. That's why I'm so adamant about cutting this shit short, because I do listen back to our podcast, and it's like, God damn it, I'm annoyed. Don't nobody want to listen to that bullshit? So I'm trying to cut it back, and until I do cut it back, I thought it'd be fun for all of us to be just, drunk together. That way, maybe it won't bother you. And if I'm tipsy, it won't bother me. It's a win-win. You get it. Yeah.
But luckily, he hasn't hosted the show in years. And now he's just like the second guy, the side dude, while someone else hosts.
Oh, color commentary.
Yeah, but he still comes out with the and the and the yeah.
Ooh, Martin's on.
So.
That's a little quick 205 live.
See what Don's up to over there in the 205.
Yeah, it's going to be me for a while now. Corey Graves announces Rick Swann is hurt.
Oh.
Yeah, because, you know, he got beat up by Neville 2 weeks in a row.
Them British people.
We get one of DD's, yes. We get one of DD's faves, Jerry, against Sean Maluta. He's a part of the Samoa Coalition.
Oh, my God. I don't mean to interrupt, but again, I wasn't here for the Christmas podcast. My nephews had me watching 205 Live. They actually
see the duel.
Yeah, it was great. They're actually like really good reviewers because I went upstairs to do something. I was like, "What I missed?" They were like, "There was a black girl." I was like, "Was her name Alicia?" They're like, "Yeah, yeah." I was like, "What she do?" And they saw me on the back. I was like, "Good show." So yeah, it's a good product. Very purple. It's a good product.
In honor of Prince, of course.
Of course.
So Jerry wins with the buzzsaw kick. After the match, the Brian Kendrick comes out to welcome Jerry. To 205 Live. Kendrick offers his hand, but he does something that DD would enjoy, to Jerry that is. He blows the green mist in Brian Kendrick's face.
Huh? Hey, not to my man with the plan. Anybody else would have been acceptable, though.
I knew you were a fan of the mist.
I was. And it was so funny because they had a preview for him when I was watching the episode with my nephews. They were like halfway asleep, but I was like, I know that man. Why do I know who he is? I was like, what is his name? And like in my head, I was like Tajiri, and I was like, "No, that's not right." And then it came on the race screen. I was like, "That's right!" Like I felt like, you know, like when you watch Wheel of Fortune and you get the name right. It was kind of like that.
And then we get a quick Neville interview where he says if he'd been in the division from the beginning, TJ Perkins would have never been the champion. Then we have Jack Gallagher. He beats Tony Nese when the match gets thrown out because Aria Davari attacks Jack Gallagher, of course, because of last week where he got embarrassed at the duel. Then we have our man Cedric Alexander. He asks Alicia to be a little bit more careful at ringside, and the pair commit to make their relationship work. Then we get Mustafa Ali. He defeated Noam Dar by doing the inverted 450 splash. After the match, he gets an interview with Dasha, where she doesn't trip over her words, and she asks Noam Dar about basically starting off 2007 with a loss. He says all he needs is Lady Luck by his side, and though Cedric may not be man enough, Alicia Fox is always welcome in his corner. Didi, I asked you last week. I asked you again.
Yes.
Should Alicia Fox consider this game that Noam Dar spit?
There's that word again. I'm 30. I feel like, well, I'm 31. I feel like Alicia is my age. I just don't know if a 23-year-old is what she needs in life. I don't know. She's 30.
You can show her some new things, the way things are. You can show her the way things are going. The way
was he even born in the 90s?
Shade.
He's young. Like, that's. I don't know about that one. He's fine. Don't get me wrong.
Alicia Fox seems like she would ruin your life. So, yeah, I think she would. I think she would think about it, at least consider it.
It's an ongoing saga. I'll ask you again in a couple more weeks.
Okay.
As this progresses.
Okay. It might change. It might work out, but right now.
No good dice. Stick with Cesar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then we get an Akira Tozawa video package, but it's narrated by Cesaro.
Oh.
So that was a pretty cool twist. Then we get TJ Perkins interview before his match. He says that all Neville does is complain. He says that yes, he is ugly though. Because you know, he's talking about how other people were talking about his features, how he looks. Anyway, he says he vows to stop Neville's bullying by kicking him right in the face. So we have our match, and Neville beats TJ Perkins with the Superfly. So this was actually I did watch the very end match, the main event. I did not get to watch all the stuff in between, but the main event match is really good. So please like take some time out to watch Neville versus TJ Perkins. That actually was a very, very good match. The same way that I would ask you guys to take out the time to support the podcast here at CSPN. So go on our website, www.csbn.us, scroll down, click on the link that says support our podcast, keep our shows free. There, we have a number of links that are our sponsors. So you have Amazon, you can click there. And when you do that, you can shop like you normally do, buy whatever you need to, and then whatever you buy, how much it costs, some of that money will come back to us to help keep the podcast free. So Classic can insert the cool parting promo every week so we can get mail to sit in on Bad Advice Show and all the other various bells and whistles that we provide here at CSPN. So please support the podcast by, again, visiting www.csbn.us. Scroll down to click a banner that says keep our podcast free. Shop through Amazon. CSPN and Amazon. Do it today.
Yay. So, guys,
yeah.
I found the tweets. I did the Googles, and I found the racist tweets from your girl, Aaliyah. Would you like to hear them?
Sure.
Here it goes.
Okay, so one of them is effing in words. That's why I choose white folks. Mind if I lick between... Oh, yeah, she was, like, quoting another tweet. She says, mind if I lick between your toes to get the salt glue off? And then she ends the quote. And then she says, why are black people so horny?
Ew.
And then she adds someone and calls him N-word lips.
Oh, yeah, she's canceled. Keep that.
And then there is, like, some wrestler picking her up. It's an Instagram post. And she calls him her slave. My slave, Preston Miles, needs to stop acting like I weigh 200 pounds. Wow. Someone buy me a whip, please.
Wow. She needs to go the way of Third Reich Barbie. Like, they all need to be canceled. They gotta go. Yeah.
Zahira Schreiber? Yeah.
Sure. The fuck? I don't know her name. Who cares? All their ass is canceled.
Yeah.
Samuel Kalunga, yeah. AKA Rat Chief, of our investigative team here. Guys.
I wasn't with her to begin with. I just thought she was a horrible wrestler. But now she's a horrible wrestler and a racist. So anyway, Don, where are you going next? NXT or
Underground? Little NXT next. Okay. We had a super show from Melbourne, Australia. We had the revival, the return of the revival. They defeated Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss. Dawson basically hit a nice variation of the Saturn Machine on Riddick Moss. They got the win. We had Ty Dillinger and Buddy Murphy, who is, of course, from Melbourne, Australia. They defeated Bobby Roode and Elias Sampson when Ty Dillinger hit the tiebreaker on Elias Sampson. Then we had Ember Moon Alert, as she defeated Liv Morgan and Billie Kay in a three-way, as she hit Billie Kay with the Eclipse, a.k.a. the top rope snap. Then we had the NXT Tag Team Championship match, where DIY, they beat TM61 by using their super kick knee combo move. And then the main event was a match that we actually reviewed a couple of weeks ago, which was the cage match from Melbourne, Australia, where Nakamura beats Samoa Joe by using multiple Kinshasas to get the pin. The Ember Moon is always worth watching, of course, so I would suggest everybody go search that out. The main event is a cage match. We've already kind of seen it, so nothing new there. DIY versus TM61 is actually a pretty good match, and they get a pretty good reception from the Australian crowd, so not a bad NXT this week. It's another long one. It's like a two-hour show, so you guys go check that out.
All right, next.
Did you check out Lucha Underground this week, or are you still like behind?
Nope. I still haven't watched it. You go ahead.
Oh, man. It's actually pretty decent. We get our normal, you know, intro from last week. Then we get Emil Mortis. He's pissed that Puma is still alive. Katrina says that he was able to return because it was the Vampiro. Then we get Jeremiah Crane. He meets with Katrina, telling her that he beat the man she loves. Katrina says she doesn't love Mil Murtis. So we get our first match. Didi, where was my ooh right there?
Ooh.
It slipped.
I'm sorry.
So we got Mary Posta versus Sexy Star. We got Mary Posta versus Sexy Star.
What is a Sexy Star?
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Sexy Star is a corner drop kick. Then she gets the double stomp off the top rope and gets the win. Mari the Moth comes down to assist Mariposa. But then he ends up choke slamming her, and everybody knows that Mariposa is his sister. So then, Sam, you'll get a kick out of this. We have Masahiro Sagrada. He's in the back working out. And it looks like he's lifting like 450 pounds, like on a curl.
Jesus Christ.
So the White Rabbit tribe busts in on him, and they think that he is the White Rabbit, their guy. So the White Rabbit tribe, Paul London, the Checker Man, and Mohawk Dude, they have a match versus Drago, Lizard Man, and Luchasaurus.
I think one of those dudes is I think at least two of those dudes are the former crew.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the mask. I think the Mohawk guy is like Mr. Cisco, I think, or something.
Okay. Well, they send the Luchasaurus to the floor. Drago was released by by Mrs. Moon.
Cobra. Cobra.
Yeah, Cobra Moon.
Thank you. Basically, he hit his hit the front row DDT, and they got the win. And they basically have him like on a collar, like he's some sort of like beast Drago, that is, because she's trying to, you know, make him bow down to her and call her master, and he's really resisting. So they're trying to control him. So we get Sexy Star in the mat, in the back, in the locker room. Matt tells her that he doesn't need her help tonight, that he can do this on his own, and stay in the back. Don't come down to ringside. Then Dario Cueto is in the locker room. He meets with the Mac. Dario tells the Mac that tonight's match is not for the title, but actually it's to see who will be able to make the stipulation for the championship match that will take place next week. So we get Johnny Mundo versus the Mac. Well, the Mac is handling his business, and then all of a sudden we get the ref bomb. The Mac gets a sit-out power bomb, but of course the ref was there. Then all of a sudden, here comes Jack Evans and PJ Black. They distract the Mac. Mundo hits the low blow. He gets the roll up. DD, distract. Yeah. Johnny Mundo hits the low blow. He gets the roll up. He gets the pin. After the match, of course, they beat down the Mac. Johnny Mundo tells him that he sucks, tells him that he's fat. And then he says that he's going to pick an all night long match next week as a stipulation. And they triple curb stomp him to the mat. And they basically leave him in the ring for a day. Mil Muertes then comes out, so the Worldwide Underground, they scurry out of the ring. They think maybe Mil Muertes is coming for him. But Mil Muertes is actually coming after Vampiro. Muertes kicks Vampiro into the ring, beats him up, beats him down. That brings out Prince Puma. But when Prince Puma comes out, Vampiro tells him to stop, and Mil Muertes gives him the flatliner, and Mil Muertes and Puma have a stare down, and that is the end of the Underground. That was actually a really good show, the Worldwide Underground and the Mac, Johnny Mundo and the Mac. That was a really good match. So their championship match should be pretty standout next week. So everybody should look forward to that.
Nice. All right, so next you're going to do some New Japan?
Yeah, the main event of the week, where we had the Wrestle Kingdom event taking place in New Japan, the Tokyo Dome show. Every January 4th, they have basically what is their WrestleMania of New Japan. So we'll kind of just run down the card. Michael Elgin, he pinned Cheeseburger to win the New Japan Rumble. We had the Young Bucks versus Roppongi Vice for the IWGP Junior Tag Team titles. You know, the move where the Young Bucks do the Rolling Thunder, and then it goes into where the other brother does the senton off the top rope spot. Well, Rocky Romero threw a little fly in the ointment as he countered that rolling part of that maneuver in pinned, I think it was Matt Jackson with the crucifix, and they got the win, and they are your new junior tag team titles. The highlight of this match is basically Rocky Romero's partner, Trent Beretta, did a swanton out of the ring and hit nothing. Nobody was there. Crashed and burned. Splat. Did not see him basically for the rest of the match after that until the very, 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 very end. So, yeah, it was not pretty at all. You probably saw it on Twitter if you were into wrestling Twitter, because it was everywhere on Wednesday. Next match, six-man, never, openweight title match, but this was a gauntlet match. So we have the Bullet Club with the team of Adam Page, Yujiro, and Fale. We have a team from Los Ingobernables, De Japón, with Evil, Bushi, and Sonata. We had a team from Chaos that was Jado, Will Ospreay, and Yoshihashi. And basically, Bullet Club and Los and the Chaos started. Chaos eliminated the Bullet Club. Then Los Ingobernables, they came out next. They get the win, and they win the gauntlet match and the right to face the champion because they beat Chaos. And the champions are Ricochet, David Finlay, and Kojima. So they face off with the Los Ingobernables team. Evil pins Kojima with the SEO, and Los Ingobernables are the new never openweight six-man champ. Adam Cole versus Cal O'Reilly, the ROH world title match. Adam Cole gets the pin, and he regains the ROH title. The big news coming out of this is apparently now it looks like that Adam Cole will be staying in ROH and Kyle O'Reilly will not be, and he is open to sign with anyone, anywhere. So, hopefully, I'd like to see him come with Bobby Fish and bring Red Dragon to NXT, but Kyle O'Reilly NXT, that would be awesome. I wouldn't be mad at it. We have a triple threat for the IWGP Tag Team titles. We have Yano and Ishii versus Hamana Makabe versus the champions, the Gorillas of Destiny. Yano hits the Gorillas of Destiny with a low blow, gets the roll up, gets the win, and Yano and Ishii become the new Tag Team champions. Pretty good match. Gorillas of Destiny have really improved over like the last like 3 or 4 months. So they really held their own. Hopefully Yano and Ishii won't be champions for too long because, you know, Yano is all about comedy if you know anything about New Japan. So now we go into our stretch of singles titles as we start off with the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title as we have Kushida versus Takahashi. Takahashi hits a spinning Mikanuchi driver to get the win and become the new IWGP Junior Champion. This match had ridiculous, crazy spots. They do this one spot where Takahashi does like a senton to him on the floor and like lands like ass first, hip first on the concrete. They do this sunset flip powerbomb where Takahashi does a sunset flip powerbomb to Kushida onto the floor, and they almost have to stop the match because he can't continue. This match was off the chain, and then it just kind of ratchets it up from each match after this. It gets better and better. So our next match is Shibata versus Goto for the NEVER Openweight title. Goto hits the GTO, and he wins the NEVER Openweight Championship over Shibata. Goto finally overcomes not being able to win the big one. It's a story in this match. He's working the injured neck of Shibata. It's pretty brutal at some points because Shibata is like my favorite wrestler in New Japan. So, yeah, hopefully he can take some time off now that he doesn't have the title. But this was a really good match. Really, really good match. Next, we have Naito versus Tanahashi, IWGP IC title match. I thought this was going to be the match of the night. They went like 30 minutes, 27 minutes, something like that, back and forth. Naito was working the knee. Tanahashi was selling. It looked like he was going to win. He gave him the high five flow to the outside. On the outside, it looked like Naito wasn't going to be able to continue because it looked like he got knocked out. He might have a concussion. But the match went on. Naito basically gets the win by doing a tornado destino, basically off of the top. He, you know, did the destino off the top rope and got the win to retain the IC title. And then that set us up for our main event, which was Kenny Omega versus Okada for the heavyweight title. 45 minutes of the best wrestling match I've ever seen in my life. Dave Meltzer gave this match 6 stars. Yeah, I believe it. After the match was done, I basically did the Kevin from Home Alone. I grabbed my face and just screamed like, oh my God, what did I just watch?
Dave Meltzer said it was probably like the best match he's ever seen.
Yes. It's not exaggerating. I mean, really, he's not exaggerating. Okada survives the war with Kenny Omega. He hits a spinning tombstone pile driver. He follows that up by the fourth brainmaker of the match to finally pin Kenny Omega. I mean, this match had everything. They had table spots. They had high-flying spots. They had outside-of-the-ring spots. They had mat wrestling spots. They had submission spots. They had just, I mean, anything and everything that you can think of that you would need to have just an all-time great match is what they had. And it was like nonstop, 45 minutes. It was fantastic. The internet was talking about it. The internet has continued to talk about it. And it's going to take one hell of a match for somebody to even get close to knocking this thing off. So I would advise everybody, especially if you're in an area that's going to be snowed in this weekend, search the What We're Watching hashtag. We do have a link to the matches, most of the matches, at least the title matches.
There's even snow expected here, so.
Yeah, that match is a part of those links. Again, is what we're watching. And search out the Kenny Omega versus Okada IWGP Heavyweight Title match from Wrestle Kingdom 11. It will blow you away. So they followed that up tonight with their first show of the new year. New year basically sets forth everything, sets up kind of how they go for this year. On New Year's Dash, and we had a match with Mike Elgin and Kushida versus Naito and Takahashi. Dragon Lee from Noah does run. From CMLL does a run in and attacks Takahashi, which leads to Naito being pinned by Michael Elgin. Dragon Lee leaves Takahashi laying after the match and challenges him for the Junior Heavyweight title. Then we had a 10-man tag with Shibata, Hamna, Makabe, Juice Robinson, and Sam's favorite Yuji Nagata versus Okada, Yano, Ishii, Goto, and Will Ospreay. Juice Robinson, aka CJ Parker, and the newly crowned NEVER Openweight Champion, Goto, to get the win for himself in Chaos. As Juice Robinson gets the belt to that's how they kind of officially make the challenge in New Japan, is after they pin the champions, they'll go grab the belt, put it on their shoulder, and kind of stand over the fallen champion. Suzuki Gun from Noah comes out of nowhere, hits the ring, and wipes out everybody. Roppongi Vice and Gedo come down. They get wiped out. Okada starts to make a small comeback until Minoru Suzuki himself comes out. He sets Okada down, gives him the Got-style pile driver, lays him out. He then gets on the mic, gets a promo where he challenges Okada and says that Suzuki Gun will take over the New Japan ring again. Then we had our main event, Taguchi, Nakanishi, and Tanahashi versus Evil, Bushi, and Sanada for the NEVER Openweight Six-Man titles. Nakanishi hits Bushi with the Hercules Cutter and gets the pin. And so Taguchi, Nakanishi, and Tanahashi are your new NEVER Openweight Six-Man champion. And that was the back-to-back nights from Japan. So really looking forward to where they go from here. Kenny Omega and Okada kind of... Okada has really big fists to fry now because Suzuki Gun is back. Basically, Noah is like the NXT of New Japan. And so when Okada and Chaos became like the number one faction, they basically sent Suzuki Gun to Noah. And they've been down there for like 2 years. And so now they're making their way back officially to regain their spot in New Japan. So it should be a pretty interesting year if you're a fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
All right. So is there anything else tonight? This week?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead. Yes. Go for it, young man.
It's time for us to put on our tuxes and our long dress and our gowns and roll off the red carpet. It's time for the 2016 El Dandy Awards.
All right, go for it.
All right. So for our promotion of the year, we have the WWE/NXT and a runaway with 75% of the vote. Congrats to the WWE. For our heel of the year, we had two separate polls. We had 8 candidates. And surprisingly, and something I did not think would happen, but actually is a good representation of the category, Charlotte and The Miz both share the award as they both got 53% of the vote in their respective polls. Our babyface of the year, in a close race, Broken Matt Hardy beats The New Day 47% in his poll to 41% in their poll to win the El Dandy for babyface of the year. And our last award for this year's El Dandy, the match of the year, goes to AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura from Wrestle Kingdom 10 that took place on January 4th, 2016. So ironically, the two matches of the year back-to-back may have taken place on the very first major show of the year in Japan, because I don't think there's going to be anything that's going to top Okada and Kenny Omega unless they have a rematch that's just out of this world. So that was this year's El Dandies. Yes, we didn't do like co-host of the year or guest of the year. So by default, Chrono Central R, you still have the El Dandy. So yes, you can spawn it in Maurice's face like Owen Hart. And I'll do better this year to make sure I keep up with the names of the guests so we can all have that category come back next year. So
awesome. Is there anything else?
Nope.
Alrighty. So I guess we'll have to do shout-outs really quickly before we do shout-outs. I want to say happy birthday to Ms. Keisha OH. Tomorrow is her birthday. You always wish her a happy birthday on the Twitter machine.
It's your birthday. Go party. It's your birthday. it's your birthday.
All right. So, shout-outs. Dee Dee, we'll start with you.
Shout-outs on getting everybody drunk. Shout-out to Jade, my Glow co-host. She had a loss in her family. So just prayers, thoughts, kind words, send those out to her. Shout out to Black people for taking Nigger Navy on Twitter and running with it, as we do.
The USS Florida Evans. That was my favorite.
Black people. God bless us.
You have to get in on that before the night is over, I see.
Yeah, shout out to Gordon Baker Bone, because his birthday was, depending on when you listen to this, his birthday was sometime this week. So happy birthday to him. Hopefully his Dominican apple pie came back. I don't know. I hope so. Always shout out to Mail, because I love Mail. And then that's it. Yeah, that's it. No, that's not it. Shout out to the Southwest guy at BWI who helped me get my nephews on the plane, even though their plane left in like 30 minutes after we got there. Like, it was a miracle we made it, all because he was sweet enough to be helpful. So shout out to him. And that's it.
Hmm. All right. Now, Don?
I'd like to start off by giving a shout out to my side piece. I mean, my boo.
Oh.
I'm just Siege for being on the Crown and College.
Now we got the fight.
The holidays is definitely the only thing I really asked for Christmas. I asked Mel if she could make it happen any kind of way, be on anybody's show. I just wanted to have Siege on the mic, and Siege got on the mic for Crown and College, so I'm thankful. So, big shout out to her. Shout out to Classic. Shout out to the whole CSPN. Look out for me on a guest spot in Crown and College coming soon. I'd like to give a shout out to JPK Moto on Twitter. I'd like to give a shout out to the man himself, DJ Wally Sparks. I'd like to give a shout out to Sean_Bishop. I'd like to also give a shout out to the guys over at the Jiu-Jitsu Powerbomb podcast. You guys check that out. It's pretty funny. Shout out to, of course, the new Slay, Jordan, Alexis, and Miss Seattle Slim, and Jay to the Max, of course. We're thinking about you. And everybody who joins us for SmackDown Matters broadcast, spread the word. Tell your friends that we do talk about wrestling. We live tweet. Tell them about the podcast. Share it, rate it, review it. Interact with us on Twitter. Feedback, questions. Tell us what you think. You know, tell us what you don't like about it. Tweet. You know, we'll talk about it. So, looking forward for big things in 2017. And, of course, shout out to our man, Magnum Prime, a.k.a. Jerobi of the WrestleCast.
All right, so breaking news. The U.S. military has brokered a $25 million deal with Timberland Boots for the Trump Navy stationed on the Eastern Shore. Just kidding. So, anyone else?
Nope, it's your turn.
It's your turn, sir.
All right, so shout out to Keith and OH, of course. Shout out to Don and Dee Dee. Let's see, who else can I shout out? Shout out to... What's her name? Oh, X_JTrilla on Twitter. Let's see, shout out to Lady Nikki on Twitter. Shout out to Quan. Shout out to all the globe, all y'all. And shout out to, let's see, one more person. Shout out to Neil Carter. We need to have him back on the show sometime. And that's pretty much it, unless you've got anything else.
Check out the What We Were Watching hashtag. Watch the Okada and Kenny Omega match. Do yourself a favor, and so you can be a part of the cool kid crowd and understand why the internet is going so crazy over this match.
All right, so that's it. We will see you next week, and we are out.
As I walk down that aisle of this great building, it reeks of tradition. These people, whether it's the grandfather, the father, the son, the daughter, they're here tonight because of tradition. God only knows. And if they throw a lot of them were born, but 1981, when I wrestled Harley Race in this building, it was so.
Get him 10 years from now and say, you know what? I lay down. Come, come, Gene, come, come. I lay down for Hulk. What? What? On God's great earth, we make you lay down for Hulk. The worst part is, I work.
walk down that ramp. I said, Kevin Nash, I'm trying to be a ball player. You might not have a title because I want you to have it, but you got it. And tonight you represent WCW. I shook your hand. It's my fault the match took place. It all falls on me, nobody else. But hear this, and hear it good. Paul Steiner, Buff, Nash, Hogan, oh, and Lex Luger. You know, Luger, you've got everything going in life for you except leadership skills and guts. Anybody can run down the aisle and deceive 40,000 people and then turn their back on reality. Luger, you suck, pal. And as the president of this organization, I can't bottle freedom of speech. Bischoff, you sat over there all night, silent, pouting, crying, and then you blew it off. You went crazy. You tried to get on top again. Bischoff, I'm on my way. In a few hours, I'll be in Atlanta, and you be in my office at 8 o'clock in the morning, because you, me, Dr. Schiller, and Ted Turner are going to work right now on what to do with Hogan and Nash Monday night. Dory Funk Jr., Jack Briscoe, Dusty Rhodes, Ronnie Garvin, Terry Funk, Harley Race, Ric Flair, we were world champions! And you're not gonna take that from me, them, or all of this! Got it! Woo! Woo!
One more!
Woo! Hey, don't you wrap me up, baby! I run the company now! Woo! Hogan, you and Nash will pay the price.